Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Presbyterian Church, and I pray that our time together will be beneficial to all. Please note the announcements as printed in the bulletin, and there's some that are on the screen. Reverend Adams is away at the present time till the 28th of July, and in the meantime, I'll be covering for emergency pastoral care. Please get in touch with the church office and they'll get in touch with me. The rose at the front of the sanctuary is in celebration of the birth of the grandson of Barry and Anita Mack. Alexander Barry Mack was born on July 27th, 2025 in Greenfield Park, Nongueuil. May God's blessing be abundant in his life and forevermore. I'm Reverend Mark Borgon, by the way, for all of those who are online. I know everyone here knows me, but there's a number of people online that may wonder who I am. I'm a retired minister filling in for Reverend Adams. Those are all the announcements I have for this morning. We light the candle to symbolize that Christ is the light of the world and he is with us during our time of worship. Please stand for the call to worship. We see Jesus as Mary's son, as God's only son.
We see Jesus as the Christ of God, the life, the truth, the way.
We open our ears to hear his call, follow me.
Let us worship God.
Let us pray. Lord, you reveal yourself to us in so many ways, though we do not always recognize you. We yearn to learn more about you through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the witness and testimony of others. Open our hearts and minds to know more about your actions in our lives each day. Enable us to see you more clearly in order that we might follow your Son more nearly. Amen. Our opening hymn is hymn 366, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts. Let us join our voices together in a prayer or confession, as it will appear on the screen. Gracious and forgiving God, you sent your Son into the world to be an example for us, so that we might follow him fully and faithfully. We confess that we have failed to follow Jesus' guidance and to do your will. We have not done as Jesus did. Forgive us for listening to the words of Jesus without really taking them to heart. By the power of your Spirit, set us free to be more nearly what we claim to be. May the mind and spirit of Christ be in us, and may Christ direct our minds and govern our action so that there will become the persons you intend us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus holds before us the life of God and a heart in which there lies no condemnation. Kindness and compassion are there in sacred fullness. We are forgiven. Thanks and praise be to God. Our hymn is hymn 645. Follow me, the Master said. And now if the young people will come to the front pew for a short word. Good morning. How are you today? I brought something with me today, so I'll come a bit closer and I'll show it to you, and I want you to tell me what it is.
A cross,
right?
Yeah, and it's jewelry.
I've got two different kinds of crosses in here. One is what they call a Celtic cross, and the other one is just a straight cross. But they just show something about Jesus. You know why the cross is so important? Why?
Because Jesus died on it.
That's right. Jesus died on it for us because he loves us so much. In the Bible, Jesus tells us that if we love him, we will have each to take our own cross, okay? And you know, when you read that in the Bible, that's hard to understand, isn't it? Are we going to go out and find a cross and carry it? Are we going to get crucified? I don't think so, no. When it was time for Jesus to die for us, the soldiers gave him a great big cross to carry. That cross was so big that men could be hung on it. Jesus probably couldn't pick up the whole cross at once. Instead, he had to drag it along on the ground behind him. He had to pull very hard to move it along as they passed a number of people and went up the hill. Can you think about dragging a heavy cross behind you?
Maybe it's like carrying a blanket that's 1,000 pounds.
Or like dragging 2 grand pianos.
Yeah, well, Jesus wanted, or the soldiers wanted Jesus to carry the cross all the way to the hill outside the city. And there he would be crucified. Now, Jesus said that we have to carry our crosses. But he didn't mean that cross. He was using the word cross as a word that signified things that are hard to do. And that could be a lot of things, you know. You know, doing what your mom and dad tell you to do, that can be hard at times, can't it? Sure, being nice to someone who is mean to you is hard to do. Getting ready for bed the first time mom tells you time to go to bed. That can be hard to do at times, especially if you're listening to an interesting program on TV, right? Yeah. You know, many times we'll have problems. Maybe sick, or mom and dad could lose a job, or they may be sick, or they may just be away for some reason. And these problems are like carrying a cross. Jesus promises to help us when we must deal with these hard things. How is that? We don't have to do it by ourselves. Jesus is there to help us. Okay, so always remember that. We'll say a short prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you died on the cross to take away our sins. Thank you for forgiving us. Help us to do the things that you want us to do. Help us to show just how much we love you. Help us to carry our cross, depending on you for help. Amen. Okay? And now you can go back and join your dad. As we prepare to hear the scriptures, let us pray. Loving God, as we hear and listen to your word for us this day, may your Spirit prod us so that we come to know who Jesus really is and thus decide to follow him fully, placing him as our ultimate guide in life. Amen.
Good morning. The Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 5, reading verses 1 to 7. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed. And it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. The responsive reading is Psalm 82. Follow along on the screens. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment.
How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked?
Give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute.
Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked.
They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk around in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken.
I say you are gods, children of the Most High, all of you.
Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals and fall like any prince.
Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations belong to you.
The epistle reading, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 to chapter 12, verse 2. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to fight. Women often received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Let us run with the perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God.
Our hymn is hymn 642. O Master, let me walk with thee. Gospel message is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Amen, and may God bless us through the understanding of his holy word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O God. Amen. A fourth grade teacher was giving her students a lesson in logic. Here's the situation, she said. A man is standing up in a boat in the middle of a river fishing. He loses his balance, falls in, and begins splashing and calling for help. His wife hears a commotion, knows he can't swim, and runs down to the bank. Why do you think she ran down to the bank? The teacher asks. The girl raised her hand and said, to draw out all his savings. You know, this morning in our gospel lesson, the disciples are faced with a similar situation, like being in class when the teacher asks a very important question. They want to seem intelligent, so they blurt out an answer. Not always the right one, but an answer nonetheless. In our lesson, we have Peter blurting out an answer that is both correct and amazing. Only, you know, to follow it up by sticking his foot in his mouth just a bit later on. But my friends, this morning's text is a very important section of Scripture. Some people call it the Bible in miniature. If you boil it down to fundamentals, the Gospels has two aspects about Jesus Christ. Who am I, and will you trust me? Today's reading follows several stories about Jesus' miracles. He fed the multitudes, walked on water, healed a Canaan woman's daughter. Great things were happening everywhere that Jesus and his disciples were going. Now Jesus checks to see if his disciples have been paying attention. He asks his disciples a simple question. Who do people say I am? And you know, the answers or the responses are quite interesting. All of them regarded him as a prophet or one sent by God. But the answers were never anything more than somewhat vague. In verse 14, the disciples tell him many people think he is John the Baptist or one of the great prophets. And this is where the test starts. It's when the story gets personal. Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? Understand something here. Jesus asks this question of his closest followers, and only one of them had any kind of answer. The rest just stood there and looked at him. They flat out didn't know what to say. You know, the fact that these were his closest followers and friends, and that they didn't know how to answer such a direct question, makes me wonder. What if Jesus were here today and asked us the very same question? What would you say? How many people who have sat in the pews for years would struggle to answer such a direct question? You know, I really believe that there's a lot of people in the church that just wouldn't know what to say. Oh, I've asked some people in the past, in and out of the church, this question, and I've heard things like a great prophet or a good and moral person. In our modern world, very few would answer that he was the Son of God. If he were here today, it would be more likely that he'd be seen as a criminal. Why? Well, he probably would have everyone mad at him. The excise people for making wine without the proper licenses, the Canadian Medical Association for practicing medicine without a license, the Teachers Union for teaching without a license, the SPCA for driving pigs into the sea, psychiatrists for giving advice on how to live a guilt-free life, and City Hall for building heavenly mansions without a proper permit. The idea that he was actually the Messiah comes as difficult to us, not more so than it would have been to the disciples some 2,000 years ago. And throughout the Gospels, Jesus' closest companions continued to doubt and question. Peter was the only one who had any type of clue. Now, Peter didn't go through digging through some textbooks to answer about who Jesus is. He answered from his heart, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." You see, it wasn't so much about knowing who or what Jesus is. Rather, it was about knowing Jesus. And Peter had been around him long enough to figure it out. That's what made him different than the others. The answer didn't come from his head, but from his heart. So what do I mean by that? Well, he could have answered, "You're the son of a Galilean and a carpenter," or "You're a talented speaker and a rabbi." There are many ways Peter could have answered. But Peter answered that Jesus was the presence of God and God's salvation to his people Israel and to the whole world. And to this, Jesus answers, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Wow. Great answer, Peter. But why was this answer so important? Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And from this confession, he's given the keys to the kingdom, and the rest of the church will be built upon this faith. You know, our church today is testimony to Peter's faith. It exists because he and others like him trusted and believed in God, in spite of the circumstances about them, in spite of the hostility of the religious leaders of their time, in spite of the persecutions unleashed upon them by the Romans, in spite of the lions that were unleashed upon them in the Colosseum, and the roadside crucifixions that were practiced throughout the empire. Yes, my friends, talk about a powerful expression of grace and power. All of that from a confession. And this is a life-changing event for Peter. The confession creates a foundation for the church to grow. We are literally gathered here this morning as a result of the faith of this man some 2,000 years ago. Think about that for a second. Peter's faith is a rock, and the church has been that the church has been built upon. So let's come back to the present. Here we are on the other side of the world, some 2,000 years later. And many of us who are active in the church and want to see it grow sit around and wonder, what's it going to take? What is it that we need to be doing? What kind of new service can we offer? What kind of programs do we need to start? Well, I would submit to you that what God needs from us in order to build this church hasn't changed from the first day of the disciples. The foundation is the same. What God asks of us is that we come to know Jesus, that we proclaim him as the Messiah in our own lives, and that we share the good news with others. Like I said earlier, it's possible to know everything about Jesus, but that, my friends, is not the same as knowing him. You can spend your entire life in the church and know everything that there is to know about Jesus and still really never know him. And knowing him is the entire point. Peter was only able to answer that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, because he knew Jesus. And yes, the scriptures tell us that this was revealed through the Holy Spirit. Well, my friends, even though we do not have the opportunity to walk alongside Jesus as Peter did, the good news is that we can still have the Holy Spirit reveal Jesus' lordship to us and allow us to have a relationship with him. And you know, I have to be honest here for a minute. One of the saddest tragedies in the Christian church is the way many people go about trying to introduce Jesus to others. It generally goes like this: turn or burn. Come to Jesus or spend hell in eternity. Well, I don't want you to confuse this with evangelism. Really, this is assault. And it's tragic because this is not how Jesus shared himself or the good news with others when he walked among us. Yes, he calls us to choose between the light and the darkness. But he doesn't call us from threat of violence. His call on our lives come from the extraordinary love that he demonstrated. Love that even death itself is no match for. This is good news. He just wants us to know him, to love him, and to allow him the opportunity to love us back, that we might share a relationship with him and good news with others. Even John Wesley was once quoted as saying, "Oh, you might be able to scare people to the church, but you'll never keep them there." Yet fear is a pattern so well many well-meaning Christians choose to share their faith. That's what I mean when I use the word tragic. I would say to you this morning, if you want to see the church grow, you're going to have to be more intentional about sharing Jesus and his love for other people. No scare tactics, no threats, no pushing, but an honest sharing of the relationship that you share with him, and a willingness to be open and honest and non-judgmental about where people currently are in their own personal relationships. Give them room to grow. You know, had Jesus been this big threatening guy ready to condemn and send everyone to hell who didn't have the right answer at a moment's notice, our story this moment wouldn't have been about Peter's confession of faith, but rather it would have been about all these disciples going to hell. It's not what Jesus was all about. Jesus is the Son of the living God. He is a merciful and just Savior who is looking for followers to share his message of love and grace. Now that's who he is. And that's the message that the church's foundation is built upon. Even now, Jesus calls us into closer relationship with him and with one another. And before I close, I want to say something else. Yes, we're Presbyterian, and as such, we're different than the turn or burn type of Protestant. But we're guilty, if anything, of being afraid of offending people and generally keeping our faith to ourselves. And that's no good either. We have to be willing to share if we are to grow God's church. In closing, it's my sincere prayer that all of you will know Jesus in an intimate way, having a loving relationship with him, and that you will be willing to share the message of love to others, and also to share with them who Jesus actually is, the Savior of the world. Amen. And now unto God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us join together in the Apostles' Creed. Will it be on the screen? Yeah. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. When we come to learn who Jesus really is, we realize how blessed we are for his love for us and all the world. We are called to join with him and spreading God's message of love throughout the world. With this in mind and with grateful hearts, let us present our tithes and our offerings. Loving God, may these gifts be used to enable others to come to know Jesus Christ as your Son, as their friend, as their Lord and Savior. May our offering reflect the compassionate spirit of Jesus so that others may see in us your love. Amen. Unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Glorious and ever-present God, we thank you that your early friends could see your face as it was revealed in Jesus Christ. We thank you that they looked into that face and saw their God. It is an endless gift to us to know all that we do know about you through the life of Jesus. There, O God, we find all that we need for life, all that we need for each day of choosing. Merciful God, we know that many people around the world find it hard to believe that there is a God, given the oppression and deprivation in their lives. Some would turn away and reject you, Jesus Christ, because they have not found love and care in your church. Take our lives this day and transform us into those who are your living witnesses, that all may know your grace through us. Hear our prayers for others, that they may be held close to your heart, never doubting that you're waiting to hold and hear all that is precious to them. Spread your justice and peace like a cloud of love around all people who are in need this day, O God. May they know that you will never leave them or forsake them, Holy Spirit. Turn our eyes towards you, Jesus Christ. Give us glimpses of your divine life as we tread this earth. All these thanksgiving and petitions we bring to you in the name of our Lord, loving Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 778. Lord, you give the Great Commission.
Thank you.
And now go from this place as those who have found their God, as those who announce that the Messiah is alive. And may the face of Jesus Christ be turned towards you. May the Creator go on creating shining life within you. And may the Holy Spirit guard and guide you this day and forevermore. Amen.